Isn't it a good thing God is patient and long-suffering and kind and gentle and loving and all those good things? Because, you know, as many men and women in the church that I know that have committed a sexual sin and then told me they committed a sexual sin after they became Christians, if we didn't have a loving, kind God, how many of those people would be alive? None of them. He would have killed them all. So, you know, the thing about it is, if a person can read the Word of God, see, our young people, like Dan was telling me earlier, these young people that are in prison, that's where they've been going, into the prisons. And all these young men that are in prison, how many did you say y'all got saved the other day? 20? 20 got saved the other night, just recently. But now, those boys may have got saved, but they still, right now, they're still very carnal young men. Because you hadn't had enough time to renew their mind with the Word of God yet. You got to get in the book and show them what our Lord requires, right, Dan? You have to get in there and show them. They have to know what belongs to them. But he says here, never cheat a Christian brother in this manner by taking his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sins as we have solemnly warned you before. I'm telling you, don't sin sexually. Just like that little girl. I've told you all that story about the little girl over in Justin. So many times that when she was 15, moved in with a boy, lived with her until she was 21. I went and warned her 3 times she had to quit this nonsense. And every time I told her, honey, if you don't quit, the day's coming, because of 1 Corinthians 3:16, that God is going to kill you if you don't quit sinning. But she brought 3 children in the world, wasn't married to that boy. And after the third one, it only got to be a month old. She was 21 years old. I had told her over and over God would kill her if she didn't stop sinning. And she would not believe me. And at 21, that morning when her boyfriend and the baby woke up, she had had a massive heart attack in the night, and she was cold, stone, hard, dead at age 21. What a waste of a life, huh? Especially when a man of God goes and tells another child of God what the Word of God says and shows it to them in the Word, and they don't believe it. Well, just like it says right here. How many sexual sins will the Lord Himself avenge? How many? If you've committed any kind of sexual sin and you hadn't confessed it before God, today would be a good time to tell God how sorry you are for what you've done, right? It sure would. Verse 6, 7, and 8. God has called us to be holy. Holy. He wants us to be holy. Not a little bit holy. He wants us to be really holy. You know, I mean, He wants us to obey Him. Kim, when you tell your children to obey, do you mean what you say?
Absolutely.
So you expect them to do what you say?
I do.
You reckon God must be a little bit like that?
Oh, yeah.
You think when He tells His children to obey, He means it, huh? Whether they be little bitty or great big, like us, huh?
That's right.
If the king says he will judge all sexual sin, he means he will judge all sexual sin. Now then, a lot of people never put this together, that they go out and, when they're young especially, 15, 16, 18, 20, they go out and they commit a sexual sin. And maybe they do it for a week or a month, and then they finally come under conviction by the Holy Spirit, and they quit. And then they have a car wreck. They never really repented of the sin. They just quit doing it. Or maybe they hadn't quit doing it. And then they're involved in a car wreck, and you get a whiplash in your back. And now then you've got back pain for the next 5 years. It's nobody ever realizes that's God judging you for your sin. God is judging you. Now then, how long will He let you have those back troubles? If you don't repent, how long will He leave those back troubles in there?
Sometimes all of your life.
That's exactly right. Sometimes all of your life. Or He may not give you a back trouble. He may give you a venereal disease. And it may be curable, but only after surgery. Or it may be incurable, which is a lot. In fact, I think about what we were told. Cheryl and I was told this by a nurse in the last year. She was one of the nurses that received Kennedy's body when he came in to Dallas. There was lots of nurses there, lots of them, but she happened to be one of them. And when they examined him, the man that was from the federal government said, "What did you find in your examination?" And she said, "Well, one of the things we found, he has a very serious problem with syphilis."
And the man looked at the nurse right in the face and said, if you ever tell anybody, if you don't destroy those records, if this ever gets out, we will kill you and your husband and all of your children. That was told by an FBI agent to a woman in a hospital in Dallas 40 years ago when Kennedy was killed. Now then, it scared her socks off. Would it have scared you? I mean, she's just doing her job. She's one of many nurses in that hospital. One of many. You don't know which one it was. It could have been one of 20 or 30. But it was one of them. And she happened to be privileged to that information. Who would ever dream that the FBI would threaten one of our nurses, a poor little woman that's doing her job, that if you tell this information, we will kill you and your family? Have we ever had a government that would kill somebody for cause of sin? Oh, yeah. We read about that in 2 Samuel 11. David went out and committed sin with Bathsheba and got her pregnant. He wasn't married to her. And what really gets me about that, the Lord had just given David the kingdom, and he'd given Saul's wives, however many he had, but he had several, beautiful women, but David now has all these women as his wives, and he has the kingdom. And he said, if all this wasn't enough, if you would have asked me, I would have given you anything you wanted. Why did you have to go out and commit sex with a woman you're not married to, and especially a woman that's married to another man? And then because when she got pregnant because of you, why did you have to kill her husband as well as several other Israeli soldiers lost their life because of that sin? And so the Lord says, because you did this, David, the sword will never leave your house. Your children will kill your children. Your children will rape your children. And the sword will never leave because of your sin. And then he says, what you did in secret with Bathsheba, I will do openly before the world to see. The women you're married to, they will be ravished or raped by men on the street corners and on the housetops for everybody to see. In public, your wives will be raped. Who spoke that curse upon David? The Lord. So who had to make it come to pass? The Lord. Is he in control? He is in control, isn't he? And he will do these things to us. So I don't want the sword to be in my house, do you? I don't want my wife to get raped by some guy out here on the street corner. I don't want to see that. Do you? No. So what do I have to do to make sure that don't happen? Be holy, just like he said. Is that what he said? Be holy. So he says, God has called us to be holy, not to live impure lives. And I'm going to tell you that nobody gets away with this kind of stuff. I don't care if some guy does entice some other man's wife to go to bed with him. I'm going to tell you that him and that woman is going to pay dearly for what they do. They'll probably never realize it's God doing it to them, but their life is going to be miserable. It's just the way it's going to be. I don't want my life to be miserable, do you? I like my life to be full of love and joy and fun. But that's the way it is if you serve God. Anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human rules, but you're rejecting God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now then, how easily can he pull the Holy Spirit? Boy, he could be gone just like that, can't he? So all of a sudden, you can't get a prayer answered. You can't get nobody healed. You can't do nothing. Boy, without the Holy Spirit, what can you do? Nothing. That's absolutely right. Without God, you and I cannot do nothing. Verse 9 and 10. But I don't need to write to you about the Christian love that should be shown among God's people. For God himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, your love is already strong toward all the Christians in all of Macedonia. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we beg you to love them more and more. So now that if you're dumping out all the love you can, Joseph, on everybody, I'm here to encourage you to increase that. Is that what he's saying? So we should really love, right, Kim? I mean, love. How do people know that we're God's children? By our love one for another. Is that right? That's why Paul's trying to say that. We want you to love, 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 love. Because we know this will glorify our Lord. Okay, 11 and 12. This should be your ambition, to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we commanded you before. Just meditate on that a minute and let that soak in on you. Live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your own hands, just as we commanded you before. As a result, people who are not Christians will respect the way you live, and they will not need to depend on others to meet your financial needs. I can assure you that when I see a Christian that comes to me, and I have this happen all the time, people come to me and says, my finances, I just can't make it. You know, I just cannot make it. You know, I'm living in bad, terrible. I say, are you tithing? Well, I tithe when I can. No. You don't know what the word tithe means. Tithe means every week. You don't give God 10% this week and 6% next week and skip next week. Whatever you make, you give him 10%. And then you don't stop there. Well, I do tithe. Well, how about offerings? Well, I can't afford no offerings. But God says give tithes and offerings, does he not? And when they ask the question, why are we living like we are? He said, because you're a bunch of thieves. He said, you have robbed from me in your tithes and your offerings. And so now then I have cursed you, not only cursed you, but I have cursed you with a curse. So if you think you're ever going to be prosperous and successful and you're stealing from God, forget it. He's not going to bless you. But if you've dedicated yourself to him to do what he says, and you're willing to tithe to wherever you go to church, and then give offerings to people that need it, and walk holy before God, I will guarantee you, you will not have a need for money. He will give you the knowledge and the wisdom how to provide for yourself or your husband. He'll give him the knowledge and wisdom so you will be able to live in a decent home. Now, you may not be able to live in a $1 million house, but I don't want a $1 million house. I mean, just a little house, you know. I mean, I think of this little apartment or whatever you want to call it that I built for Cheryl and me behind the ministry center here. It's only about 1,200 square feet. It's not that big. It's only one bedroom. It's got one big bathroom and two closets, hers and mine, and then a little living area. And the whole thing cost us less than $35,000 to build. It's wonderful. You know, it's got carpet, it's got air conditioning, it's got heating. What else could a man need?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled God Has Called Us to Be Holy, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.